I grew up with a dad who, if there was any sort of person who doubted me or adversity, he first and foremost was saying, they don't know you. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to make this a positive? And I would go through my whole career doing that. We changed things from doubt to figuring it out to feeling good. And I wanted to help players do that. Hey, I'm Ashley Agle. Some of you might know me as Ashley Burkhart, and I'm a former D1 and professional softball player who spent a few years coaching in the college game before deciding to put all of my focus into youth softball players and helping them make their dreams and their goals happen for them. It's our job to help them unleash their potential and become the athletes they've always dreamt of. I come from a small city in the Midwest and didn't let that stop me from making my goal of playing D1 softball a reality. No matter where you live, you have the tools to help you thrive, and I am hoping through this podcast to help you get there. On this podcast, you'll learn from Olympians, Hall of Fame coaches, and elite players what their journeys have been like, and you'll also learn from me and my family a bit of our journey through the game. I'm so excited to have you here, so whip out your notebook and let's learn how we can grow in this game together. Welcome to When the Cleats Come Off. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. I'm trying something new. We're in a new setting. If you hear a little bit of echo, that's because I have a brand new office in my basement. And we put wood floors in, which makes it a little echoey, but I appreciate you for sticking with me before I start soundproofing this spot. But welcome. I'm very, very excited about this episode. I plan to share a couple stories that I've never shared before because, you know, a couple weeks ago we did an episode about, you know, what to do before a tryout, before a big event, how to calm yourself down. And like, maybe you did that. Maybe you, you know, showed up, did your best, and maybe you didn't make the team. Or maybe you've gone through some sort of adversity lately where you're kind of losing yourself. And I want you to know that that's kind of completely normal. If you're going after something big, bold, scary, it's not going to be a clear-cut path. You're going to find adversity everywhere. It's going to be tough. But I'm recording this episode to share with you a few experiences of where I was thrown the ultimate adversity and how I look back on it now and say, thank you. I would not be where I am without these crazy moments that, you know, I thought were going to end me and my confidence. And it was tested in so many ways. And I just want you to know that this is not the end game. And I want you to keep in perspective where you are and why you need this, if you're going through it right now. So I'm going to share three adversities, failures. Two of them are going to be brand new. This podcast has never heard them. And ironically, I've talked to a couple athletes recently that I know in person about it, which is what encouraged us today. So let's dive into the first adversity that I can think of. The first time I was like truly tested, it was my freshman year of high school. And at the time I was playing two sports. So I had recently given up volleyball. I loved volleyball, but I knew, you know, I wanted to start off my high school career, I guess, with, you know, let's start with school. Let's start, you know, taking care of my schedule. And then come basketball season, which is that other sport that I played, I would be ready. And so I was playing on an AAU team at the time, and they were a really good AAU team. I was not a starter on that team. Basketball was, I loved basketball. Looking back at it, just as much as I did softball, I think my freshman year of high school, I loved both sports. I had a good background in both. I enjoyed my experience at the time with both sports, and I didn't have a favorite. You know, looking back on it, yes, I probably enjoyed travel softball more than I loved travel basketball, but that doesn't mean I didn't love each sport similarly, which I did at the time. And I remember going through basketball tryouts that winter of my freshman year, and I was nervous because it was a new place. This coach was intimidating. There were a lot of great players within the basketball program. And there was a freshman team, a JV team, and a varsity team. And basically no freshman makes varsity at our school at the time. Like, I don't think anybody really did at that time. So I was shooting for JV. I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a spot on JV. I'm going to work so hard for it. I want this. And I remember going through tryouts and I didn't make it. I didn't make JV. I made the freshman team. And it was such a blow. One, because, you know, a part of me knows, like, my dad played college basketball and, you know, these are these expectations. And I wanted to play JV. I saw myself playing JV. I thought I played and tried out well enough to make JV, and I didn't. And so I made the freshman team. And again, it was a blow. I was like, are you kidding? I worked so hard for this. I want this so bad. And I didn't get it. And of course, at first, I was totally bummed. I probably cried. I was really upset. But, you know, I didn't let this become a defining moment for me. When I look back at it, I could have either, you know, just flopped and said, screw this, I'm not going to try this year. I'm just going to, you know, shoot for next year. But, you know, I had an opportunity and it was freshman. And I knew I was going to be one of the better players on the team. I knew I was going to be one of the better players to play just freshman in general. And so I made the most of it. And yes, we were playing in tiny gyms. We were playing against competition that, you know, wasn't good compared to what I was used to seeing. But, you know, I shined there and I enjoyed it. And I, you know, I learned a lot about myself as a leader, as a point guard, shooting guard. Like, I learned a lot about myself. And so because of that, again, I didn't let it define me. I said, you know what? I'm going to crush it this year. I have an opportunity. I'm going to crush it. And I did. And, you know, I made sure that the following year I was going to work my tail off and make sure I don't have that feeling again, because, you know, sights are now in varsity. Even though I didn't even play a single JV that year, I only played freshman. I said to myself, you know what? I want to play varsity my sophomore year. And so I worked my tail off. I worked really hard on my AAU team. Again, I wasn't a starter, but I competed. I mean, I was playing with girls that ended up playing like at Purdue University and high level teams for basketball. And so they pushed me and I pushed myself and I got myself around people that were going to push me. And it was the hardest working summer I've ever had. And crazy enough, the next year, I jumped all the way to varsity and I didn't take that for granted. I worked my tail off for it. I knew I deserved it. I knew I wasn't the best player on varsity as a sophomore, but I was there and I was going to compete and I earned a good, solid spot on that team. And I did not let me not making JV change or let me flop or, you know, let it define me as a player. I worked my tail off for something even bigger the next year and I ended up getting it. So, you know, if I had made JV my freshman year and got what I wanted, right, I don't think I would have had that fire under my butt to prove that I deserve to be on JV. And maybe I didn't. I probably didn't deserve to be on JV because I wasn't on JV, but I made sure and I used that motivation of, you know, maybe these coaches didn't see who I really was as a player. I'm going to show them on freshman team that I am worthy to be on JV, but I played hard. And then come the next year, I was like, oh no, like they don't know what they left behind last year. And I came and I proved myself and I ended up having a decent year my sophomore season as a varsity player, and the rest is history. But, you know, I learned a lot about myself and, you know, how I saw myself by not making this team. You know, originally I kind of was just like, oh man, like that means I must suck, right? If I don't make this team. But, you know, over time I started realizing, no, there's a reason why I didn't make this team. I can make the most of the opportunity I have in front of me right now. And because I did, and because I used that as fuel, I jumped back the next year and exceeded expectations. So what was the lesson? I wasn't good enough. And I needed to make sure that I was good enough so that those coaches didn't overlook me this year. And that those coaches saw that I wasn't going to just flop. And I am nowhere near the skill of Michael Jordan, but we all know, at least if you don't, you know now, Michael Jordan didn't even make any sort of high school team at all when he first tried out. And he used that as fuel. And he and his mom was like, you're not good enough. Get better. And he did. And he got as good as he possibly could. And that just started feeding the rest of his career. It was like, okay, you're never going to be perfect, right? But can we get as close as we can? And I would argue he got as close to perfect as you could as a basketball player. And then even tried baseball, which is nuts and crazy. But he didn't let that moment define him. Don't let these moments define you, whether you made the team, whether you, you know, made a lower team than you thought you were going to be. This moment does not dictate who you are as a player. It should push you to want to be even better. And I need you to look at it that way. All right. This next story you've probably heard. In episode 80, I recorded an episode called The Time I Hated Softball. And I'm not going to go into all the details here because I literally recorded an entire episode about it. And it's along this topic of adversity, but I'm going to share a little bit more about what this specific adversity helped me realize later on. So long story short, I came off an incredible season at Purdue, almost hitting 400, feeling my best at the plate that I've ever felt, feeling on cloud nine because I got drafted to play professionally, and I'm ready. I feel ready to play in the arena of professional ball. And I get there and I'm like, this is so cool. I'm around, you know, all these All-Americans, these girls who have competed at the Women's College World Series. It's kind of incredible to be able to even just be in the same vicinity as a Monica Abbott, as a Kat Osterman, Natasha Watley, all of these elite players. It's just unreal to be playing against the best that I used to literally sit on the couch with my dad and watch them compete. And I was there. I was with them. I was at their level. Obviously, I wasn't as smart as they were yet. I was new. I was a rookie, but I'm feeling good. And then we start spring training. Some of the girls that are on our team that were drafted aren't there yet, specifically because they're competing in postseason, which I wasn't because we didn't make it to postseason that year. But some of those players, they actually missed the first couple weeks of season, but there were opportunities. So I had some starting opportunities, kind of feeling good, like I'm getting some reps, I'm being tested a little bit. But, you know, it was, I think it was before one of our practices, my head coach said, hey, you know, once these other players get here, you're probably not going to be starting. And when she said that, I originally kind of looked at her and was like, okay. And, you know, over time, I started letting those words just like be engraved into my brain as like, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. Why are you here? You don't deserve to be here. And these were all thoughts, literal thoughts that I had. And I didn't share it with anyone. I didn't share it with my boyfriend, who's now my husband at the time. I didn't share it with my dad because I was embarrassed. I didn't share it with anyone. And I just let it dictate how I saw myself. And, you know, looking back on it, this coach didn't know me. She didn't understand my grittiness, but I gave her too much credit. And to my fault, I let it define who I was for an entire year and a half of a 2-year season of pro ball. I let it define me for a year and a half of those 2 years. And I didn't play well. I didn't. And, you know, when I did get opportunities, even though it was, you know, when we're down by, you know, 7-8 runs to Monica Abbott, she's on the mound and some other players aren't getting it done, that there was my opportunity, but I wasn't ready off the bench. You know, I lost all confidence in myself because of these words that this coach said. And I saw myself going through the motions. I was a player who loved to work out. Like, I loved moving my body. But the thing is, we played so late at night that, you know, other teammates were going to the gym earlier in the day to get a little workout in so they can just, you know, move around. I was sitting in my hotel or I was sitting in my apartment and I was just watching Netflix all day. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to start. Why would I try? I was going through the motions in a way that I had never done in my entire career. And I was probably on the verge of some sort of depression and not really realizing it. And again, I didn't really tell anybody about it early on. And, you know, because of this adversity that truly I kind of gave myself, you know, at first I was saying it was the coach's fault for saying that. But, you know, before when people doubted me, I used it as fuel. I used it as motivation. I loved it when people doubted me. I still love it when people doubt me because there's this part of me that enjoyed kind of proving to other people that, you know, they don't know me, but I know me and I'm going to show up and be my best. But because of that adversity, I'd let it get to me. But through that, I started meeting with Dr. Chris Carr, who, if you listen to an episode 39 of the podcast, about mental toughness. He is a sports psychologist. He's the sports psychologist actually for the Green Bay Packers currently. So he knows what he's doing, but he was, you know, with Purdue's programs, and I started meeting with him and I started learning, you know, more about these practices of journaling and more about self-talk and how to flip the narrative. If you're saying things that are not helpful, like how can you change it to something that's helpful and not hurtful in your brain? And he taught me visualization. He taught me meditation and all of these skills that I started to implement into my game come my second season. It didn't start off early on. I didn't start early on again. And I was kind of going through that little funk. But with those practices, I started to unleash my potential the second half of my professional season, my second year. And I started adopting it. I started to live by it. I started to even teach it to some of my other teammates that wanted to learn about it. And it wouldn't have been able to happen if I hadn't gone through that funk, through that adversity, through that doubt that someone had had for me. This is the first time I let someone who doubt me get to me, but I got myself out of it. And because of that, I started really adopting the mental skills. And when I started coaching and teaching later on, this is what I do for a living now. I teach players how to go from someone who doubts themselves, someone who cares too much about what other people think, a player who doesn't see the other side of this road, this rocky road that they're in. They're just in it and they don't know how to get out of it. I now make a living on teaching players how to jump out of that, how to believe in themselves more than they ever had, how to take troubles and adversity and shift it into something more positive for themselves, how to look at it as, you know, this is necessary for my road to become the best version of me. Without that coach who let me doubt myself for the first time in my career, like truly doubt myself in a very bad way, I jumped into one of the best versions of myself because of this road that I was on. What was the lesson? I wasn't as strong as I thought I was mentally. I came off a great season, and then I went straight into my worst season and a half that I've ever had. I wasn't as strong, but I found that out about myself. And I did whatever it took. I kept digging. I kept trying new things. I kept failing some more. But I got out of my funk. And I'm never turning back. All right, taking a quick second from the podcast to share something that I haven't shared about in a while, but it's still one of my favorite pieces of work. And it's only $7. And it's the Goal Smasher Confidence Course. Basically, if you are after something and going through some sort of funk or adversity or something tough, which we all have moments of this, if you have this course, you're given 14, but really there's more, simple, tiny, easy, 30-minute or less tasks that are going to help you build confidence over time once you complete them. Some people have bought this course a few years ago and they are coming back to it every once in a while to get them back in check. Some people, they started the course, they did a couple things and they didn't actually finish it, but they got a lot out of it in the first couple days. The Goal Smasher Confidence Course is $7 for a reason. Like, I don't want money to be a factor here. I want you to have something simple and easy to turn back to try out when you need a little boost of confidence, because there are little tiny little hacks that I share with you in here that I've learned from sports psychologists like Dr. Carr, who's been on the podcast, that I've learned through physical experiences and still do some of these to this day when I'm in a funk. But it's a tool that I want to make sure that you have at least in your back pocket. So one, if you've already bought this before, maybe you need to jump back at it. Maybe your daughter needs to try this again because she just needs a little belief in herself. Maybe if you haven't gotten this course, you can go find it on my website, www.ashleybtraining.com, or head to the link in the show notes. I'll have a direct link to the confidence course, but go get it. And then once you get it, you'll have it forever and you can use it whenever you want. And there are some things in there that are very out of your comfort zone. Some of those things are very easy, simple tasks, which the first ones are kind of those simple ones to just start gaining some momentum. And then as you complete some more, you start defining, you start getting a little bit tougher challenges. But that's the point. The point is to do little things that are hard that get you out of your comfort zone. And over time, you know, you start rolling on the train tracks kind of slow and then you start booking it. And that is the whole point behind the confidence course. So head to my website, www.ashleybtraining.com. Go check out this course if you haven't already, or maybe go back to it and start doing some more of those exercises to start just boosting that confidence and feeling good. Because it's within you. You just might need a couple tasks to help get a little bit more out of you. So go head to the website, go grab it. You can pause this episode, go grab it, come back, or actually just go do that. Because if you're like me, I'll get into the second half of the episode and then forget that this is something that we're supposed to do. So what I would probably do is pause this right now, go get it, and then come back to this episode because the second half is actually really good. So thank you for this little break. Let's get back to this episode. All right, this third adversity is actually the reason why I'm recording this episode today. I never really explored this adversity until recently, like deep enough, exploring it, figuring out, you know, how is this thing for me? But this also has to do with professional career. So backstory a little bit. So I ended up having that year and a half, basically season and a half of not believing in myself, being lazy, you know, not trying, going through the motions. And then that second half of my professional career in my second year, a light switch turned on. And if you listen to the full story of the time I hit at softball episode 80, you hear how I flipped from, you know, not believing in myself to believing in myself, playing my game, feeling myself again. And, you know, finishing my second season strong, like being myself again. And so I finished the season strong. I'm excited for next year, but I only had a 2-year contract with the Dallas Charge team, professional team that I was on. And so everything's, you know, limbo after you finish your season. You don't know if you get another contract. You're kind of just chilling, you know, waiting to see what happens. And it was, you know, the fall, I think, fall or close to winter of after my second year playing. And we got a brand new GM, which the GM prior, Kevin Shelton, he's the one who actually drafted me. He saw something in me that allowed me to play pro, but he had stepped down or left, and we had a new GM. And as soon as that GM was announced, within a week, I got an email. It was 2 sentences. "We're not taking you this year. We're picking up a pitcher. Good luck." That's not exactly what the email said, but basically that's what it said. And I remember reading that email and, you know, feeling back to where I was when that coach told me that I wasn't good enough. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm here again. I'm at another low, another punch to the gut. And, you know, looking back at it, I was like, what does he know? I was blaming him for sending me the email. But if you were to look at my stats, like if you're going to go back and look at my stats, you would see, okay, she's not producing, which I wasn't. I didn't start producing until halfway through my second season. It's a little late, right? So even though I finished off feeling good, I got another gut punch. And, you know, looking back at it, you know, being more mature, I was not that mature when I got this email. I think I was 23, 24. I got the email and again, I started doubting, but, you know, a little bit quicker than, you know, when I was doubted before, I started going, do I want to go through this again? Do I want to go through, you know, an entire, and this is tough for any professional softball player. When we were playing then, the only professional season was 3 months out of the year. It was in the summer. And most of us, we coached in college because that schedule kind of worked with our professional schedule because, you know, games or, you know, school, university schedule starts in the fall, ends in the spring. And then those 3 months in between, that was our professional season. So we were training more than we were playing. So we were training, we were working on ourselves. I had an amazing strength coach in college that ended up writing programs for me. I worked my tail off in the weight room in the off season. I had to go practice on my own outside of college practices, which if you guys know, or if you're in it, you know, it is from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. You are grinding as a coach. You're focusing on what are you putting into practices, and you're guiding this team, and you're spending time with individual players. And like, there's a lot that goes on. So then I would have to make my, you know, side hustle be, okay, now I got to go train because I'm playing in the summer. It was just a lot. And, you know, I had a really rough year coaching at Purdue, and I can probably have another episode about how hard it was coaching former teammates of mine at Purdue. But, you know, I was struggling coaching at my alma mater for a lot of reasons. And it was a lot to put on myself, especially when I'm not feeling that motivated anymore. I just got an email saying, you know, we don't want you anymore. And what I could have done, and what I was balancing or trying to figure out for so long, was do I go try out for another team and hopefully make it and go through an entire year of this again where I'm coaching in college, because that's the only way I can make some sort of money in the off season. Which now I know I could have done lessons and not coached in college, but everybody coached in college. So I was doing it, which I hated coaching in college at the time for many reasons again, but I was going to have to go through that again. I was not planning on talking about this. I had a little bit of the yips, not in like actual games, which is interesting. I had the yips warming up. I would like warm up, literally just be throwing to my partner before a game. And I like couldn't hit a target. I couldn't like, and it was brutal. Like from a mental standpoint, I beat myself up with this, and I got through the season fine. And like in games, when I threw to a target, I was hitting my target 9 times out of 10. Like I was pretty efficient on like in the games, but it was warmups. I just was dreading warmups because I'm like, oh my God, what if I hit the person next to me? Like that's so embarrassing. I probably need to go to someone and talk about the yips, actually. Rachel Balkovec, she talks about how she used to have the yips too. And now she's, you know, coaching in the MLB. She's gone through a lot there. I should probably get her on the podcast. But there was just a lot of stuff going on around the time where I got that two-sentence email. And again, I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but I feel like there's constant context that needs to be there. But I didn't want to do that again. I didn't want to put myself through all of that again. For what? I don't know. At the time, there was no Olympic softball. And, you know, if there was, I might have had the motivation to go do it again because I wanted to make the Olympic team. That was something that I dreamed of. But there was no softball in the Olympics or even knowing when it would come back at the time. And I just didn't feel like there was anything else to go for. And people say like, hey, when you know, you know. And it just felt like my time to go. And so for a while, I hated the new GM. I was like, what are you doing cutting me? But I was in a better place mentally because I had gone through that adversity of doubt. You know, I juggled whether I wanted to do it again. I struggled mentally. And, you know, it gave me the motivation. This email, this two-sentence email, over time, it gave me that motivation of, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? I could continue to play softball, go through the yips, try to get through that, not really love this coaching in college thing, or I can get out and I can try to discover who I am other than a softball player. So I did. We finished off my second year coaching in college at Purdue. And I said, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. And I'm going to go find myself. And I went home, hung out by the pool. My parents had a pool at the time, just enjoyed my summer. Hadn't done that since like after my freshman year of college, because then I started doing internships in the summer. But I just hung out by the pool, took a deep breath, started teaching lessons. And then I kept teaching more lessons. And then I kept teaching more lessons. I probably outdid it with lessons. I needed to take a little step back from that, but I started teaching. Hey, and that, you know, they do say those who can't do teach, but I mean, I can't look at myself that way. I was a professional athlete, but I did want to start teaching these different concepts. I wanted to start teaching players how to handle adversity and learn it earlier than I did. I grew up with a dad who, if there was any sort of person who doubted me or adversity, he first and foremost was saying, they don't know you. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to make this a positive? And I would go through my whole career doing that. We change things from doubt to figuring it out to feeling good. And I wanted to help players do that. So because I had great coaches like my dad and other great coaches in my life, I wanted to be a coach that could help a player love the game, because I went through a period where I did not love the game, hence episode 80, the time I hated softball, but love the game for what the game is. Not to get distracted by doubt or lack of motivation or like have something that you're after and learn how to take adversity and learn that it is for us. Adversity is for us to learn from. Adversity is meant for us to figure out who we are. How do you handle it right now? Are you like younger Ashley, who, you know, blamed the coaches for making the mistake of not putting you on this team? Or are you going to use it to help make you better, like Michael Jordan did? Like so many other elite athletes, or even just anybody who's great in their arena, they used it and looked at it as something that they needed to learn about themselves, to make it for them. How could this be for me? Think about any adversity that you had. How could this two-sentence email from this coach be for me? It made me make a decision to either stay or move on, and I moved on. And I don't regret it for a second. How could the coach who said I wasn't going to start once the other elite athletes showed up to my professional team, how could this be for me? Step it up, Ash. Train harder, Ash. Prove to this coach that she doesn't know you, that only you know you, and you play your game, you're going to be in that lineup. Older me knows this now. How could not making the JV team when I wanted to and only making varsity, how could that be for me? You're not good enough. Get better. Get better with your free throws. Quit passing the ball to the other team. Be smarter. Think about the adversity that you're facing right now or have faced before and haven't dealt with yet. How could this be for you? You got to look at yourself in the face, and you got to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm not as good enough as I thought I was. I'm not as mentally strong enough as I thought I was. I need to be stronger. I will be stronger. I will work on this. But you can't learn from it if you don't face it. The easy thing for me to do when I got that two-sentence email is just back away and say, okay, I'm done, which I ended up leaving. But I had to learn a little bit about myself as to why I wanted to leave. How could this be for me? Think about that. How could this adversity be for you? It's part of your story. All of these scenarios and probably hundreds of other adversities I faced growing up, all of them were meant for me to be where I am now. All of them were meant to be where I want to be. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. As a coach, as a podcaster, all of these things, I'm nowhere near where I want to be. But these adversities are helping me climb that ladder to find out who I'm going to be later. They don't define me. They help shape me. Next question I want you to ask, what did this teach me? Similar question as to how could this be for me, but think about, what is the lesson that this is trying to teach you right now? Think about it. The next question, now that you've thought about what did it teach you, what do you need to start prioritizing now? Let's say you tried out for, you wanted to make varsity, only made JV this year on your team, softball team, whatever team, just giving an example. What do I need to start prioritizing so I make sure I'm on varsity next year, or even get called up this year to some games to play varsity? You got to be real with yourself here. You can't just say, oh, I did everything and I'm great at everything. You're not. If you were great at a lot of things, or actually just having one piece that you were exceptional at, you'd probably be on varsity. And maybe this is the kick in the pants that you're just like, I needed to hear. You probably did, if you're sitting there blaming other people for why you didn't make this team. No, you need to be better in an area. What do you need to start prioritizing? Maybe it's your mental game. Maybe physically you've got this, but when you're undergoing some pressure, you fold. That tells me you need to work on your mental game. That tells me you got to work on your self-talk. and visualizing yourself being successful and trusting in the work that you're putting in. I have a confidence course for you if you need it. But basically, it's 14 strategies that are proven strategies that I've learned from Dr. Carr, that I've learned from a sports psychology class on how you can develop mentally. It just takes a little bit of effort. Chip away at it over time. Go jump over there if you want it. But maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe you're not as accurate with your throws than you thought you were. Now, I'm going to take this a step further. If you don't know what you need to prioritize, go to that coach, that varsity coach. Be like, coach, what do I need to do to be on varsity next year? Some coaches are going to have ego and say, that's not my problem, which I hope they don't do that. But I think most of them are going to be very honest. They're going to respect the crap that you just went up to them and asked this scary question. But they should be honest with you and say, hey, you just weren't very consistent at the plate. Or, hey, you got to figure out what you're going to do when you see a changeup because you folded. Or, hey, you just got to be a better athlete defensively. It's a hard thing. I got chills thinking about, you know, a coach actually coming to you and saying this. It's a hard thing to hear at the time, but it's probably what you need to hear so that you're not in this position again next year. What do you need to prioritize? All right, last and final thing. I want you to look at every no as a stepping stone to get you closer to your next yes. Every no is getting you closer to getting your yes. For example, every strikeout, it should be getting you closer to your next hit. But what a lot of people do is they make it define them and start letting it get further away from their next hit. But look at the strikeout as a learning opportunity. Why did you strike out? How did you strike out? Did you get yourself out? Or did that pitcher just have a nice rise ball and it got you? If you learn and create data and just take in the data from the strikeout, you now are closer to your next hit. There is no comeback without a struggle. I don't become the coach that I have become from not embracing the struggles and starting to own them. What do you need to start owning in order to make your comeback? The faster we can have adversity, learn from it, and move on, the better we are going to be. That is the difference between the average player and the elite player. But this is a choice. Do you let your strikeout define you? Do you let the adversity define you? Like I did in that story of that coach doubting me. Or do you hear it, learn from it, do something about it? That is up to you. There is no comeback without a little struggle. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of When the Cleats Come Off. I'm honored to be your host. I'm honored that you're here. If you learned something or are motivated by this episode, please do one of two things or two of two things. Share this with someone you know that needs to hear this message. You know, like whoever just creeped into your brain during this episode, please share it with them. Don't hold back. Make them better. Or two, if you really liked it, go give me a review on Apple Podcasts. That is the fastest way this podcast can start getting into more ears, jumping up in the rankings. Told you I got goals. Help me. Help me help you. But that is another way that you can share. But also, if you want to continue talking about this topic or other topics we've had on the podcast, go join the When the Cleats Come Off community on Facebook. I'm in there every once in a while asking you guys questions on what you think of episodes. I also sometimes open it up to you and be like, what do you need to hear right now? I want to make this podcast be what you need. This podcast was something that some people needed to hear. But I also know that there are elements of this game that we haven't even touched on this podcast. And I want to know what you want to talk about or listen to, or maybe get a guest to come back on. But I won't know unless you guys tell me. So please go over there and share some of those things with me. I'm open to all suggestions. I'm also open to some criticism if you got any. But just thank you. Thank you again for joining me on When the Cleats Come Off. I love creating these episodes for you. And go give me a review if you haven't already. And don't forget to stay awkward, stay humble, keep smiling, and keep bouncing through adversity, please. It's the only way we get better. See you next week.